All right, get started here. Thank you, thank you. Okay, here's a question to start off the message. Who here has the gift of singleness? Okay, some people are very aware of their gift. Who here is not married? People are more aware of that. It's kind of hard to forget you're married. That's very true. So if you just raised your hand, you should have also raised your hand for the first question. So let's try that again. Who here has the gift of singleness? There we go. All right. You guys should be excited about that, actually. I'm going to tell you why. And some of you were like, why are you talking about singleness? Didn't you just get married? Yes. But I was also just single not too long ago. So I kind of have the perspective on both. So hopefully I can share some good things that I did while single and some not so good things so you can learn from my mistakes. So singleness, it is fun. You know, there is a lot of jokes out there. Why am I single? You know, I looking online, there's a lot of funny memes. We should look at some right now. So this is how some people feel. Here's the first one. You know, you just kind of see. Honestly, I'm probably single because I never forwarded those chain messages in 2008. Sometimes we just don't know why. We are just looking for a reason. We just can't figure it out. We're like, it's not me, right? Of course it's not me. I probably didn't, you know, forward those chain messages. Another one about, like, having a boyfriend. Or, yeah, is that one. I'm constantly torn between I don't need anyone and, hey, you, please fall in love with me. Like, we just don't know. We're like, I'm totally fine single. Next day, no, I'm not. Someone fall in love with me. We don't know where we're at. Sometimes we feel that way. 99% of my socks are single, and you don't see them crying about it. So why should I? Why should you? You know, that's a really good one. It's kind of true, especially if you're a dude. I think you can understand that. And then this is also another one. When your crush complains about being single, I volunteer. We're just hoping for our moment. It's just going to show up out of nowhere, and we're just going to volunteer, and it's going to be great. But really, there's a lot of truth in there. But hopefully singleness is a lot more than just that. And really, the main thing that I really want you to get out of it is that we got to be content. Really, we really do need to be content. Like I said, you know, like, I don't need anyone. I want someone to fall in love with me. There's no content in that. And the Bible puts it really well, of course. Philippians 4:11. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Whether being single, whether being married, we need to be content. Because if you're not content single, you'll never be content married, because you're always looking for something to fill you, and marriage is not going to fill you. I've been single, felt lonely. I've been married, and there's still loneliness in there. It doesn't fix everything, because only God can really do that. Only God can really bring that true contentment in singleness and in marriage. And another thing I really want to reiterate as we get going in this is that one is not necessarily better than the other. Singleness is great. There was a lot of great things about it. There's a lot of hard things about it. Marriage, also great. But also, there's a lot of hard things about it. Both of them have their struggles. Both of them have their strengths. Not one is better than the other. And that's, society has messed that up. They're saying, like, oh, you got to get married. You got to be in a relationship. That's just not true. That's really not true. Yes, God likes marriage, but he also likes us to be single, be content in that, and use it as the gift that it is. Because really, singleness is not a problem, but it's a gift to be enjoyed. That's really what it comes down to. That if we just always focus on, like, oh, I have a problem, I'm single. Why am I single? I don't know why. Like, that will just consume us, and we won't get to enjoy the gift that it really is, that God, the time in our life that we have, that God wants us to use for a lot of different reasons, to grow us, to grow others, to serve others, to really reach out. And it really is a gift that we want to enjoy to the full potential. And so just kind of want to share my story a little bit through this. Kind of starts when I was like 17. You ask why 17? That's because when I stopped being afraid of girls at about 17. Took a while for me. I grew up with a brother, had no sister. So I didn't, you know, I had a mom, of course, but girls were just, I don't know, they were, I didn't talk to them. They were scary, probably because I didn't grow until I was like, after I graduated, and they, you know, girls grow faster, so they're like 2 feet taller than me. Just stayed away from them, which was probably actually a really good thing, because middle school relationships would have never worked out. So it was actually God's blessing that I didn't grow, probably. Anyways, but then in high school, I got into my first relationship, because you're in high school. That's what you do, right? You're supposed to be in a relationship. About 2 months in, God spoke to me and said, are you going to marry her? And I said, no. And he's like, why are you dating her? It's a great question. Because you're supposed to? And thankfully, through God's grace, that relationship ended well. And it really kind of woke me up to what relationships are all about. And it's really about being intentional. It's really about being intentional with someone else, with that relationship. And so, you know, you can't just expect things to come to you and that you're just like, yeah, I'll give this a try. Like, if you're single right now and you want a relationship, you need to know that when you get into that relationship, intentionality is key. You really have to know that this relationship could ultimately end in marriage. I'm not saying that it's going to, but that's the mindset you need to go into. If you just go into dating like, oh, this is cool, I'll give it a try, it's not going to work out. There needs to be really intentional. That helps with the security of the relationship. That helps with your heart, knowing that this is something serious, because it really is. Because if you don't treat it seriously the way it should be treated, then people are going to get hurt. There's going to be insecurities, and it's not going to go the way that it was planned. When Devin and I first started courting or dating, it was pretty funny because a lot of people know that I have a pillow that I love, and everyone's like, are you going to get rid of it when you get married? Or is she going to make you get rid of it? So I asked her, I was like, so just so you know, I'm committed. This was like day three. Like, I am committed to taking this to marriage if God wills it. So I need to ask, if we get married, do I have to get rid of my pillow? And she goes, well, hopefully by that time, maybe it'll fall apart. But yes, I will let you keep your pillow. And I said, great, we can continue. But I said it straight away that we were going to get married if God so willed. And I let her know that I was serious, but I also liked my pillow. So there was the intentionality there. I still got it. But the opening end has to face away from her, towards the outside. And it's in a zipped pillowcase, covered with another one. So we compromise. That's also a good thing about, you should learn to compromise now, because marriage is compromise. But it worked out. I got the pillow. I sleep great. It's amazing. So you do have to be intentional with relationships. And that's the relationships you are right now with your friends. If you want to have good, deep relationships, there needs to be intentionality. We need to be open. We need to be honest with each other. And so when you're single, it's great to have friends. It really is. Of both genders, I loved in college that I had a great group of friends. We're always hanging out. There was guys and girls. We were interacting. We're having fun. You know, I would put my foot in the mouth a few times, learning how to interact and what to say and what not to say. Like, we even had a list on our fridge of what not to say to girls, because we as roommates would get in trouble and we wanted to help each other out and write on the list what not to say. So we were learning and growing and asking for grace and forgiveness. So it's a good thing. It really is a good thing. You know, I never grew up with sisters, and so I had to learn how to interact. And just a lot of learning was great. And it was a ton of fun to just get out there to be relational with people and being intentional in that. And not thinking, oh, every girl I talk to might be a potential, you know, wife. That wouldn't be healthy either. But just going, okay, this is great. We're in relationship. We're in community. We're in church. And just enjoying that, enjoying life. Not trying to make too much of it and trusting God through that. And it was a ton of fun. There was, right when I first came to college, there was a girl. She kind of liked me. I kind of liked her. But it wasn't really real. It was that whole thing like, oh, yeah, college. You're supposed to date and be married by the end of college, right? So this is cool. This is starting off. It wasn't as healthy. And thankfully, once again, God stepped in. Both of us were praying about it, and just, it wasn't that great. It wasn't that healthy. She wasn't in the right place. I wasn't in the right place. It just kind of felt good. And that's why you got to be really careful with the emotions, because their emotions, they don't always last, especially like it was, you know, I wasn't in the right mindset, like, oh, great, college, it's a time to get married or, you know, find someone. No, it's a time to grow. It's a time to learn. It's time to relate. It's not necessarily a time to get married. And I remember because we had to kind of step back from that relationship, and it was great because my brother was good friends with her, and like 6 months later was like, hey, you seem a lot happier. Like, what's going on? She said, I stopped hanging out with Carl and went to Jesus. I'm not offended at all because Jesus is way better than me. And I'm so glad she found her significance in Jesus and not in me, because I would have let her down, I would have failed, and that would have caused a lot more issues that she had to work through. But, you know, and we're great friends now. I was actually got to be the best man for the guy that actually ended up marrying her. It was a great wedding, totally worked out for her. They're both happily married, and I'm happy. It was amazing, but because we both listened to God, she went to God, I, you know, worked through it, and it was really cool how everything works out, and that's just, you know, the way that God does it. And so our contentment really does have to come from God and God alone. It you can't find it in someone else. That's too much pressure, too, to put on someone else. That really is way, way too much pressure for someone else to fulfill all your needs. It's just not going to work. They're going to let you down. You're going to let someone else down, and there's going to be relational pain there that doesn't need to be there. Because God should be fulfilling that. Yes, I mean, we're going to hurt each other. It's going to happen, but it shouldn't destroy us. It shouldn't hit us so deep, because that's where God should really be filling that up. And that's a perfect opportunity to really go to God as in your singleness, to really take those deeper longings, as those who just took a mirror class, take those to God, let him be filled instead of looking for someone else to fill that. And it'll just work out a lot better. And so that was through college. It was great. Started to really grow a lot, using my time to serve, to join the JCD company, and doing a lot through that, which was great. And then I ended up my junior, sort of like senior year, I started to date another girl, and it was long distance, but I met her at camp, and you know, it was really cool how God worked all that out. And then it was long distance for a year, like really long distance. Like, she was in the middle of Africa with no electricity teaching English on a mission trip. And through that relationship, though, it was cool because we were together for a year and then she was gone for a year. But we were both very filled with God, and it was a good one. But through that, God taught me a lot. He really showed me that I knew nothing about relationships, actually. I remember these talks that we'd have, and I'd just go, I don't get it. I really didn't understand, because God wanted to show me that I had a lot to work on, that there was a lot of depth that he still wanted to draw out in me. And everything she says now, I'm like, okay, I get it now, because God has done a great work. But through that, I got a few emails from her, and she started saying about like all this amazing thing that God was doing in her life and how she was changing. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I knew God was going to do that. And I just started to really realize that, like, wow, that's interesting. My perspective of her hasn't really changed. Like, I thought that maybe, like, as she's growing in God more, that I would grow deeper. And God just really been to show me, he's like, you don't love someone for, you know, what they do, but really for who they are. He was really getting at the core of what love, unconditional love, really looked at. And I really didn't understand it. I really didn't understand what pursuing someone was for who they are. And it really kind of shook me up. I really was like, I really don't know anything about relationships. And this was like in January. She wasn't coming back until July. And I was like, okay, I don't think that this is the right one. We were great friends, but I just didn't feel like God wanted me in that relationship. So I was like, what do I do, Pastor Joe? Do I like over email break up? Because I'm not going to see her for 6 months. That seems kind of rude. But he gave me a really good point. He said, hey, if you're committed to God, she's committed to God, God's doing this in your heart, then God's going to be doing the same thing to her, and you don't have to worry about it. Like, if God is the center, then God will do the work on her and keep her heart pure and everything. And that's exactly what he did. It was so amazing. We met up as she came back, talked about her time there, but then, we just started talking about us, and you know, both of us were like, you know what, this this wasn't the wrong relationship, but it just wasn't the right one. God is just calling us other places. And the breakup was, it was hard. I was still losing a friend. It wasn't like the easiest thing, but it didn't like destroy either of us. It wasn't messy. It wasn't painful. There wasn't anger because both of us trusted God. We knew that we'd be okay, that God had a plan through it, that God had used that relationship to grow me personally, to grow her personally, for whatever the future held for us. And we were able to part ways very cordially, and, you know, it was amazing. I just can't really explain how well it went because God was completely in control of that. And that's how relationships should work. That's how courting should work, where God really is the focus, that he is the security, that there's a lot that goes into that. And so just really want to encourage you in all of that, that there's a few things to encourage you in. First of all, you know, dating and courting, it's great, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to end in marriage, even though you want that as your main goal. Because I think sometimes we put too much pressure on it. We're trying to force something instead of just going through it, trusting God, letting him work on us, letting him move on us, really allowing him to do whatever he wants, not trying to force something. And through that, it just worked out so much better. And so I just really want to encourage you in that. Don't put too much pressure on dating. Really enjoy it. It is fun to date. It is fun to pursue someone, to get to know them better, to get to know them in a deeper way. But we don't have to force things. We don't have to put so much pressure on it. We don't have to make something happen. And at the same time, we don't have to do that to other people too. I know that as you're single, it's really easy to talk about other people being single, or, you know, I do believe we put too much pressure on other people too. Like, oh, when's this going to happen? Or do you like that person? Or, you know, sometimes we do try to live vicariously through other people's relations, or we want to know, oh, we called it. These people were, you know, the next people to date, or, you know, we're trying to think we're so smart. And I've been guilty of that, but I've also been receiving of that too. And it's not always the most fun when people are putting pressure on you, and, you know, God's doing work in people. And so I think sometimes we got to be careful how we talk about that. Well, yes, we want to support people in relationships, but we also don't want to put so much pressure on other people and try to live vicariously through their relationships either. We need to let it play out, let God do his work, let God do the deep work that needs to happen instead of trying to push something forward. Does that make sense? So moving on from there, so that was a great relationship, and but you know, it just wasn't meant to be, and that was okay. And then right before I started, or this was, I think I broke up after my first year on staff, but, you know, what's also really important is when you're single is that you use your time very wisely. I loved it when I was single and on staff, because Pastor Joe really just encouraged me. He's like, hey, you're in a time of your life that you don't have, you know, a wife to take care of. You don't have kids to take care of. Just serve all out. And I said, okay, I can give that a try. So I signed up for a lot of things. I'd volunteer, and I absolutely loved it. A great verse about that is Ephesians 5. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. It's really making the most of every opportunity. When you're single, you have you have more free time. You really do. I know you don't always believe it, but you really do. And I loved just using the time to really serve people. I could not believe like the joy I'd get out of it. Like, I remember being with Curtis Troll at like 3 a.m. cutting wood for a cross that we're going to use on Easter that morning, and just loving it, just going, this is so cool. I get to serve. I have the time to serve. I'm giving my time away. You know, I just absolutely loving it. And I learned so much through it. I learned how to serve even greater, which is amazing for when you go into marriage, because that's what marriage is. It's one person serving another person. You know, and if I was just lazy and did whatever I wanted with my time and selfish with my time, I would have brought that into marriage. And that would have not gone well. You can ask anyone who's married. Two selfish people together doesn't work. You really got to be serving one another. You really got to be there for one another, even when it's hard, when you're tired. And serving as a single person really helped me to see what I could do, what I was capable with, and really see the joy that came from serving other people, and I could bring that into marriage. And I loved taking classes. I loved digging into the Word, reading books, just really growing spiritually so that I myself was prepared to move into marriage. And I just absolutely, absolutely loved it. Through all this, I was thinking like, you know what? I'm totally fine. I got this. Like, I don't need to get married. I'm good. But unfortunately, at times my actions would prove otherwise. And it was difficult at times, for myself, but, for other people. And so, just kind of the story, it feels good. Like, a lot of guys out here maybe can relate, but it does feel good to be liked. Same with girls. It feels good to be liked. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it can go way too far when, we are out there serving, but, and we want girls to like us, or you're trying to get guys, to like you without going to God through it, without really being intentional with one person. And that's kind of where I was at. There was just a lot of different relationships that were going on. But like through it all, I'd met Devin, right after a few months after breaking up with, the previous girlfriend. But there was an age difference there. There was a maturity difference. She rode motorcycles, and I thought that was cool, but I knew that didn't make a relationship. There was, some growth had to happen. We did hang out together, and like her and my brother, we'd ride dirt bikes. She almost ruined our friendship because she kept riding better than me, so I'm like, I'm out of here. I can't have a girl riding better than me. But I found my security again, and continued to ride and tried to catch up, which I'm doing pretty good now, so. That's a good thing. But there was, at the same time, there was another girl, where we were close friends, and it was a great friendship. The only problem was that I liked the friendship, but I didn't really want to commit. And that can get real unhealthy, very quickly for both parts. And so it went on for a while where, I didn't want to pursue it, but then I thought I did. There's a lot of confusion on my part because I wasn't stepping back from the friendship like I should. I let the friendship get too much in the way. There wasn't enough prayer about it, and it just created a lot of tension. The kind of like the dating but not dating stage. She was confused. I was confused, but the friendship was still going. And that ended very poorly. As you could imagine. It ended with a lot of pain on her part. It ended with a lot of shame on my part because it just had to break. There's no way around it. It was just going to keep getting worse. And that's what it did. It just kind of blew up. And through that, I experienced a lot of shame, a lot of pain, a lot of insecurity because I felt like that had happened before, or I'd felt like I let other girls on, and it was just really bad because there was a part of me that said, no, I'm fine, I don't need anyone. But like I said, my actions proved otherwise. There was a longing inside of me that I wasn't letting God fill, but I was allowing girls or the approval of girls to fill that. And like I said, it was very unhealthy. There was hurt through that. And it was just very painful when that finally broke up. So I had to like recover from that. But I didn't learn from it, unfortunately. So this is why I'm really telling you guys this story, because I don't want you to continue. I don't want you to make the same mistakes I did, because it really does cause pain. It does cause hurt, and it's not necessary. So I kind of recovered from that, but I didn't learn. And I continued to do the same thing with Devin, kind of where I loved the friendship, but I didn't want to commit. There was a lot of fear in me about commitment and going deep in relationship. I never felt like I was a very deep person, but I wouldn't let God work on that either. Through this whole situation, though, of feeling the pain, I started to realize, okay, I do have a heart in here, and God is uncovering it. He was faithful through that, but there was still a depth that needed to happen that I wasn't really willing to let God work on. And so I just did the same exact thing. And once again, the relationship, I didn't want to get rid of the friendship, but I didn't want to commit. And just kind of in this thing, and it created a lot of issues between Devin and I. And then, unfortunately, she had to talk to me and basically said, look, we cannot hang out anymore based on the commitment we have. It's just unhealthy. And she says, I need to step back from the friendship because it was just too painful for her. And I totally respect her choice. And, I mean, if I was a dad and I had a daughter, I would tell my daughter, stay away, you know, from a person like me. Don't get that close because of the pain that it caused Devin. Like, there was, I mean, I'll say I was doing good things. I was serving. I was trying to be a man of God, reaching out. And that, you know, I think that is attractive, right, to a woman of God out here. But the depth was not there. And I'm saying that for you girls out there to be careful. Let the guy pursue you. There's nothing wrong with being friends, but you really got to be careful. You really have to, you don't want to put yourself in a situation like that where you have, you know, where it's just, there's so much uncertainty. Like, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it for you. It's not worth it for the relationship through that, because there was a lot of pain, and she had, you know, we weren't friends for like 3 weeks, and that really kind of, you know, kind of messed me up. And then finally, God got a hold of me, and I really realized that, okay, I really enjoy this friendship, I miss it, but I really need to commit, and I really need to trust God. If he's asking me to do this, he's going to give me the strength to do it. He's going to give me the courage. He's going to give me the ability. And so I was able to talk to her, and she was totally confused. She did not expect it, because she's like, what just happened, because of the way we had acted for, you know, a year and a half or something like that. And, you know, I can hear some of you saying out there, like, but it worked out for you, right? Sure, but I've heard a lot of other stories where that doesn't work out. Like my first one, that one I was just talking about, that didn't work out in those exact same situation. So don't think that it might work out because it worked out for us. There's a lot of other people it hasn't worked out for. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. And because of the way we interacted as friends, the way that I interacted, it put a lot of strain on our relationship at the beginning. Because she was just thinking, like, there's no way that happened. Like, he hasn't shown any commitment in the last, like, year and a half. Like, is this real? Is it really going to last? There was a lot of insecurity in that, because that's all she'd known in the relationship, in the friendship, was insecurity. And so that created a lot of problems. It created just insecurity, and we had to work through that in many different ways. And thank you, by the grace of God, he overcomes our weaknesses, my weaknesses. There was forgiveness there. We had to work through it, but it's not ideal. It's not the way that I would have wanted it to happen. There was just a lot of things that we had to work through together. But it worked out. God is good. He can overcome mistakes. He can overcome insecurities. He can overcome shortcomings that we may bring into relationships that we may have of our own. But that's only if you allow God to be the center. And that starts now. That starts before you're in a relationship. It's a lot better to work on things now instead of working on things together, because in that, you know, if you got to work on, if you have something now you got to work on, it's not going to be fixed when you get into a relationship. You're going to bring that with you. And that's even when you're dating. You got to work on things together, because you'll bring that in to marriage, and you got to work on things alone. And that's what God is just, you know, God has been so faithful. I've seen him do so many real things. Like I said, depth has always been a problem for me, and I'm still working on it. But through all these mistakes, but also through all this growth and being relational, God has really grown my heart and in a lot of different ways. And it was just so amazing when we were, you know, we were getting married, just right there at the altar, as God began to speak some prophetic words over us through different people. I broke down and just cried. I've never cried that hard, like, in my life. It was awesome. It really was. It was a deep thing that God was just kind of really, he was like, this is it. Like, you have a depth in you that you don't even know, and I'm giving it to you even more as you are stepping out in commitment to another person, to my daughter. I'm going to give you a heart for her because you are committed to her and you're making this commitment for life, and I'm with you to help you through it. And it was an awesome experience because I had embraced a lot of things that God had done through the pain, through my own shortcomings, through my own shame. And God was faithful through all of that. It was just so cool going into marriage. Even at my bachelor party, it was pretty cool. There was a bunch of dudes that were there, and a lot of them had a lot of great things to say where I had impacted them in a positive way. And it was an amazing ending to my single life going into my married life, knowing I had done something, you know, that had an eternal impact with my singleness. I had impacted guys. I had stepped out. I had spoken to their lives. I had used my time wisely to serve them. Yes, there was mistakes. Yes, there was problems. But overall, God had been faithful through that. God had used me because I was willing to step into other people's lives, to be used by him, to use my time for that. And there was just so much growth. And so it was just an amazing experience to go from the bachelor party where I was super encouraged and bring that to marriage, to the altar where God broke me down in some pretty amazing ways. And so I guess in conclusion, we can have the worship team come on up. Singleness is great. Marriage is great. But it's really up to you what you do with your singleness. It's your choice. I'm more than willing to talk to anyone out of, you know, if you want to hear mine and Devin's story in more depth, we're more than willing to share it with you. We do not have a fairy tale story because that's not real life, honestly. But we also have a lot of issues that were self-imposed, and we regret that, but we'd love for you guys to learn from that. But we also feel like we've done a lot of things well that we want to, you know, help you in that. But really, singleness is what you do with it. Are you going to be content single? Are you going to take that time to serve others? Are you going to grow? Are you going to learn? Are you going to, you know, go to God? Are you going to be honest with your feelings? There's nothing wrong with that either. Singleness can be lonely at times. It can be rough. And it's just, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to take those to God? Or are you just going to kind of just go, I'm fine. I don't need anyone. Really, what are you going to do? That's my question. Like, what are you going to do with your singleness tonight, tomorrow, for as long as God has you there? Are you going to be okay with that? Are you going to be content with where you're at and just be willing to be used by God in any way possible, trusting that he will bring someone, if that's in his will, that we don't have to force things, we don't have to make things happen. It is so amazing, like, as I was just serving, like, God brought someone to me that really rides motorcycles, is athletic. We're on campus staff together. Like, I never would have imagined that I would be doing ministry with my wife. That never crossed my mind, but God knows exactly what he's doing, and you just got to trust him through that. Trust him that he can overcome any mistakes from the past or just any insecurities. But really, what are you going to do with your singleness? Are you going to be content? Are you going to use your time wisely? And just then you guys can have the praise report in the future of, look what God has done, no matter what that looks like. Look what God has done as I've given him my time and trusted him. And it just can be an amazing story. But it starts now asking yourself, what are you going to do with the gift of singleness that you have? And so I just love to pray for us all, and then we can jump into a time of worship where just you and God just being content with where you are right now with him.
God, I just thank you so much that you will promise us that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that no matter where we're at, we can be content. And I just pray right now that we can, with courage, just give you our lives right now, wherever we're at, whether we're married or single, that we can just give it over to you, that we will choose to follow you with wherever we're at. We'll choose to trust you, and that we just offer our lives to you, and we trust you for our future, whatever that looks like, God, but knowing that you are in control, and that you hold our future, and we can trust you because you are a good, loving Father.